I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You're hearing that these prisoners, these Hamas leaders who are now prisoners, are turning on some of the other leaders in southern Gaza. What are you finding out?
Well, that's exactly what's happening, Trace. And what I'm hearing is this. Yusuf al-Mansi, who's the former communications minister for Hamas in Gaza, has just been interrogated. He was part of that 500-plus Hamas members
right.
who were taken prisoner by the Israelis, surrendered to the IDF because of that pressure cooker, Sir Lachatz in Hebrew, that campaign that Israel's been putting on. For the last 60-plus days. In an interrogation with Israel's intelligence unit Shin Bet, or Shabak, is literally turning on Yehi Sinwar, the leader of Gaza in the southern portion of Gaza, who's up close with those hostages, and he's calling for Sinwar to step down. All of these Hamas members are surrendering themselves because they believe that Sinwar, who's become essentially the bin Laden of Gaza, they believe that he's absolutely lost his mind. He's bringing Gaza back 200 years into the Stone Age, and Hamas is turning on him, and it's happening very quickly through these interrogations.
If that is happening, that is outstanding. And we had mentioned this the other day that we might well have Hamas beginning to turn on its commanders. There have been numerous reports that Hamas terrorists are simply abandoning their weapons and giving up. It's been hard on the civilians caught in between Hamas and the Israeli Defense Forces with the bombings and everything else. And probably many of the Hamas terrorists have also been going without food, water, medical supplies. And they're beginning to realize we're in a no-win situation. Yeah, we might be buried deep in the ground, but their bombs will find us, or their troops will find us, or we'll be turned in by fellow terrorists or members of the civilian population who said, we've had enough of you using us as human shields. We're losing our babies and our children because you build your rocket systems, your command centers, under our refugee centers, our hospitals, and our children's schools. If this is going down this way, this is great, because the Palestinian people themselves are getting rid of Hamas. Quick history lesson, very quick. I encourage you to study more and more detail. Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the PLO, originally gave it to them. And they were allowed to hold their own elections. And they elected a group. But then Hamas came in and won another election. And they won. And for the last 15 years, Hamas has been in control. And they've been building all these tunnels and planning for what happened October 7. They were making it clear, we are still going to own and wipe out Israel from the river to the sea. River Jordan to the Mediterranean. So if it is true that we're now hearing that some of the Hamas prisoners who have been captured are saying our officers are turning on each other, good. Good. Here we are, December 12, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back right here. You do not want to miss any of it. And I remind you, we're streaming video. While we're on the air with you, we stream video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And I went through last night, and I found numerous other video podcasts are picking up what we're doing. So you can find us anywhere. I encourage you to do so. If you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll be able to pull up anything and everything. Watch it in full, rewatch it, share it with friends. So that IDF spokesman was talking about how bad it's getting. Well, the Jerusalem Post has pointed out also, while on one hand you just heard the report as he was being questioned by a Fox reporter about, are we really hearing people turn on each other inside the tunnels? And he said, yes, even at the highest level. Well, the Jerusalem Post points this out. At any point, Are you listening? Please listen. The Jerusalem Post stating, at any point, there's a possibility of a big explosion in the region, not one controlled by either party. Right there, let's stop. Is that reference to a nuclear device possibly being used? Well, I'm glad to tell you that the Jerusalem Post and those in the know who are reading it do not see that it's that kind of escalation. But when you talk about a possibility of a big explosion, that concerns me. What they are referring to, apparently, is an expansion of the war. And the idea of Aaron Cohen's spokesman was asked, is this true that there's going to be possibly an expansion of the war?
I think this is all part of Iran's larger picture here. You got the Houthis, you got the Iraq ISIS element, which is also connected to Iran. You've got Hamas. Trace, these Iran is all these proxies. I don't know why we're looking at them as proxies. This is Iran. Yeah. These proxies are Iran. And Iran thinks that by using these proxies, we don't see that this is Iran directly targeting U.S. forces, targeting U.S. Partners in the Middle East, including Israel.
Yeah.
And the sooner the U.S. continues to stand back, assist Iran, give them money, whatever Biden's doing, it's a complete dangerous escalation of what could potentially happen in the region.
We're up against a heartbreak. You got 15 seconds for you. Are we closer to the end of Israel's war against Hamas? Closer to the end or closer to the beginning?
I think we're closer to the end. The problem is Biden put the handcuffs, him and his team put the handcuffs on Israel, and they slowed them down. They said they want more selectivity. They want more intelligence-driven operations targeted with more control over the civilian casualties. Trace, we're at war. It's a war in Israel. Man, people get killed. It's very unfortunate. However, Israel's doing the best it can, but I think that Israel's at about the 50-yard line, if I had to guess.
50-yard line, that is obviously closer than where they started. And he's right. Biden is being handcuffed by Defense Secretary and the progressive libs who say, you're too soft on Israel. And even Bernie Sanders, as we quoted yesterday, Senator Sanders, Jewish of faith, though claims no congregation or anything at this point. Well, we've got to be worried about the innocent civilians. Well, of course we are. And the best way to help them is to defeat Hamas so we can have full control and get those people the medical aid, food, water they deserve and need. But keep in mind, while this has been underway, the attack on Israel happening October 7th, on October 17th, it was already beginning to escalate as these other forces, in addition to Hamas, Hezbollah, Yemen, and others, began firing upon U.S. force positions.
We've had over 90 attacks on our troops in Iraq and Syria from Iran-backed militias, and for the most part, that's gone without any response. The United States military is not authorized by Congress to attack Iran in the country of Iran. We can respond in self-defense when they attack our troops. We have to show strength deterrence to get them to stop being so provocative in the region.
And keeping them down, tamped down in the region. And again, we have carrier groups in the Mediterranean. We have battleships around Yemen. They've been firing upon merchant ships in that area, so we've been protecting them. But at some point, in addition to those, the attacks, as you were hearing Texas Congressman McCall detail, various attacks on some of our force installations in Lebanon, Syria, and in fact in Baghdad, hitting the U.S. consulate in Baghdad. So far, no military U.S. deaths reported so far. All right, I got my morning slap in the face, Larry. Oh, my God, that hurt this time. Oh, well, it was a pretty hard slap in the face. I asked for it, so I got slapped in the face anyway. This time, the New York Times is out with this. Good morning, Larry Connors. Good morning. I like they send it to me directly, but I'm treating it that way. And they begin by saying, Why campus speech is vexing. Vexing? You mean stupid? No. Let me read you the meaning of vexing. As an adjective, causing annoyance, frustration, worry. If you're looking for vexing as in slang, according to the Collins Dictionary, if someone or something vexes you, they make you feel annoyed, puzzled, frustrated. I still say the word vexing doesn't fit, but that's the New York Times, the old gray lady, saying the campus speech is vexing. I would say it's constrictive and it's unconstitutional the way it's been done. Why not be straightforward and say campus speech is being treated as a crime if it's against progressive ideas, which it is? But if it fits the leftist narrative, well, that kind of speech is not so bad, even acceptable. Perfect example, prime example, from a congressional testimony last week, as New York Congresswoman Stefanik questioned the president of Harvard University.
Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment, yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual, targeted as at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric. When it
and is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation. That is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board.
And we're going to continue to play that ad nauseum. She said it. We're going to repeat it for you. Now, the professor of Pennsylvania State University has since submitted her resignation because a donor threatened to pull $100 million from the university. So far, no action on the MIT professor, but on the Harvard professor, many are lining up to give her support. But before I get into that, back to the New York Times, slap in the morning, good morning, Larry. Here's the way they want to phrase it. Expression is safety. Either way, a basic tension exists. It says maximizing someone's sense of safety and comfort all the time is often impossible. Well, it damn sure doesn't help when the president of the college says, well, unless you're actually carrying out genocide, you can say what you want. Does that mean you can use the N-word around campus because the Harvard president's a black woman? Can you use that? Can you attack LGBTQ, reference slurs and slanders if you're not actually touching them? Can you do that? Well, the New York Times points out this war is different. This Hamas-Israel war has brought tensions to the forefront because sides in the debate have large campus constituencies, many Jewish students, conservatives, as if they're the same, and normally they would be, believe that colleges have hypocritically allowed celebrations of Hamas' October 7 massacre an anti-Semitic cause for future violence. Now, that's underpinned by not only the statements of the university, but the rallies held on the campuses, carrying flags, PLO, and pro-Hamas. And Hamas was slaughtering innocent people, not soldiers, innocent people. And the New York Times says, the problem for the university is they can't always make both sides feel safe. My God, it's so bad. Pro-Palestinian students might feel unwelcome if they cannot criticize Israel as an occupying power. That would be one argument, but then when they start supporting Hamas that's killed 1,200 in that coordinated attack against civilians, that's a different issue. But then the New York Times continues, pro-Israeli students, for their part, might hear those statements of a free Palestine from the river to the sea as cause for eliminating the Jewish state, which it does. But the New York Times treats it as, well, the students may take it that way. They're not stupid. They are at Harvard. I think they know exactly what that is meant. So the final conclusion at this point by the New York Times and the Good Morning Larry comment is, university leaders do face a basic choice. Do they want to expand the list of restricted speech to include more statements that make conservatives, Jewish students, and others feel unsafe, or do they want to shrink the list and tell all students they will need to feel uncomfortable at all times? No more safe rooms, no more coloring books, even for Ovid, no more. What an idiot proposal. Well, Harvard University President Claudine Grady, as you know, shortly after all that blew up in her face, she came forward and offered an apology, quote, of an apology, pathetic. What I should have had the presence of mind to do in that moment was return to my guiding truth. So when you're asked, do students saying statements like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, you don't take that as is anti-Israeli sentiments? Well, it doesn't really violate our code unless they act on it. And she says, now, I shouldn't return to my guiding truth. Let me make something very clear to you. If it's your guiding truth, you don't need to waver from it. You don't need to go look up something. It's right here in your soul and your heart and your mind. It comes right out of your lips immediately. Now, you might regret it, face of some, but what she should have said is, because then she went on to say, my guiding truth is, no student should be berated. BS. That's what you get on your grade. But at the same time, she's keeping her job. Members of the Harvard community put out a statement. As members of the Harvard Corporation, we today reaffirm our support for President Gay's committed leadership of Harvard University. And I'm going to ask you something that's going to upset some, but that would be because she's black? I'm just asking. The National Association of Scholars, meanwhile, says she needs to be replaced because now there are allegations that she plagiarized the degree that got her doctorate. In the next hour, you're going to hear an interview from the Vic Fraselli Show this morning after producer Ken Williams arranged for a jailhouse interview with a man being held prison since the January 6th riot. But up next, former Harvard grad, author of the book Harvard Hates America, I want his view on Harvard president keeping her position after failing in that congressional act. And I'm just wondering, because several alum did sign a letter urging that she be kept as president, I'm willing to bet good money right now John Laboutier did not sign onto that letter. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, As always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest we've had on numerous times before. In fact, had him on just last week on this very subject. And he wrote a book, Harvard Hates America, that was published 40-plus years ago, 1978, actually. John Louboutier, former New York congressman, a Reaganite, a never-Trumper. But the issue here is where we are with Harvard and some of the remarks. John, I'm going to begin with a very pressing question. I've already laid money on this, and if you give the wrong answer, it's going to cost me a lot of money, okay?
Okay, okay.
All right, okay. So the other day, I see that there was a letter written and signed by numerous Harvard executives, now the fellows of Harvard College and other Harvard alumni, saying that we do not want Harvard University President Claudine Gay to go. She should keep her position. Did you sign that letter?
No.
Did you sign the Hancock? Did you sign the Hancock letter? I mean, your John Hancock's not on there?
No, it's not on there or any other letter having to do with this thing. But since we did the first part of this on Friday, I think it was.
Right.
The president of University of Pennsylvania, and that is confusing to people because that is an Ivy League institution.
Right.
She was forced out and quit on Saturday, and the pressure's been on the presidents of Harvard and MIT.
And, of course, she resigned because money was going to be pulled from the school, $100
million. Oh, God, money's being pulled from all of them. And Harvard has a lot of money. They're the richest school, and they have put their foot down today. They sent a letter to every member of the Harvard community. I have the letter here in front of me.
Uh-huh.
From the Harvard Corporation, and it basically came here at 8:41 this morning, and it says, we today reaffirm our support for President Gay's continued leadership of Harvard University. So they're not going to get rid of her. They've dug their heels in. But I'll tell you something. Whether they get rid of her or not, the point has been made that these schools are crazy. They're crazy to tolerate calls for the genocide of Jews. That's
right. I mean, the river to the sea says basically destroy Israel that exists between the river Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. There'd be correct. No Israeli state.
There'd be no Israeli state. Now, the other thing is, there's a building at Harvard. Now, every college probably has one. And this thing's called Memorial Hall. And inside Memorial Hall, on the walls, Larry, are the names of every Harvard student that died in the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, Korea, blah, blah. And it is a disgrace that people died, Harvard graduates died in World War II fighting against Hitler to end the slaughter of Jews, the genocide of Jews, and the fascist approach of Hitler. And here at Harvard, 80 years later, people, soft, privileged little jerks, are sitting there calling for the genocide of Jews. Well, they discredit not just themselves, but all these great guys that died years ago fighting for America. I'll tell you something. As I think I said to you the other day, if I were the president of Harvard, I'd throw every one of them out who called for it, and I would not only expel them, I would expunge their record. They would never be able to claim anything to do with Harvard, no credits, no nothing. Out.
Well, the Harvard professor...
And that'll put an end to it. John,
have you no grace? Have you no grace? The Harvard University president said, what I should have had the presence of mind to do in that moment was return to my guiding truth.
No, she's full of it. And
you have no grace.
And it's sickening. No, it's
no,
sickening.
I heard,
and you know what's wrong in America? There's a lot of things over the years. One of them is we're too tolerant. Mm-hmm. We've gotten afraid to say N-O to people. And we're too tolerant. Believe it or not, there's too much freedom.
Well, since you brought that up.
There's the freedom to be a complete jerk. And someone else would have said, you know something, you're such a jerk. I'm not going to hire you. I'm not going to do anything for you. The world doesn't work that way. The world is interplay between people. And you have to get along with people and work with people. And, yeah, you got to compromise sometimes. And these people want it their way, which is wipe out all the Jews. Why? I don't know.
Well, now, we have no way of knowing what her answer would be. But if the question had been asked, so based upon that does not tolerate your code because you need to know the context. What if I said, because she's a black woman, what if Congresswoman Stefanik said, what if I said, you are an N-word and that's what we should address you by going forward? Would that violate your conduct?
Right. That's the thing. We've gotten afraid to go there, but not afraid to say, oh, it's okay to call for the wiping out of Israel and Jews. But the whole thing is ridiculous, and we're there to learn. And I can't remember if I said this to you before, but it's okay for these students to get up and say, we want Bibi Netanyahu thrown out of office. We want the Israeli government to be thrown out and a new government in. That to me is legitimate discourse. But calling for genocide crosses a line.
Yeah, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about death to people.
Exactly. And so, yeah, there is free speech in America, but not always. There's no free speech in the workplace. You can't go up to your boss in the office and tell him to go F himself. You can't do that.
You're not going to be there long.
No free speech. No. And there should be no total free speech on the college campus. You're a private institution. How much do you want to bet 75% of those kids that were protesting are on some sort of assistance of some sort, a scholarship?
May well be. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. But, but on top of that, how many of them really even know the story of PLO other than just basically joining to be part of the group? Now, I've got the same letter they sent you. I'm not a Harvard grad, but I got your letter, John, and it concludes by saying, President Gay will lead Harvard forward toward accomplishing vital work.
Yeah, this vital word. Harvard's mission is advancing knowledge, research, and discovery that will help address deep societal issues and promote constructive discourse. Okay, fine. That's all great. By the way, all the president of a college does nowadays, they're not doing education when they're a president. They're doing fundraising. That's what they do. And Harvard wanted a black woman to be the face of Harvard. They chose that for political purposes. And she's just there to go to cocktail parties in front of rich donors and have them go, oh, how wonderful Harvard is. It isn't just white men anymore. It's a black woman.
And you pointed out that she was a professor before she got her doctorate. And now there are questions about how much she plagiarized. And according to the Harvard rules. Yeah, according to the Harvard rules.
Right. I did not. I never mentioned any of that.
Yeah, but I do want to bring it. I didn't either until yesterday. But that according to the Harvard standards, she clearly did not quote properly. Basically, a letter was citing that her work was shoddy, record of plagiarism. Now, of course, that's akin, according to some reporters I looked at. But she apparently did not follow what would be needed to show it is your work. You can contribute, attribute, but some things you can't quote directly if you don't say it's from them.
Right. Well, listen, from when I went to boarding school on, this type of topic, how to cite sources properly in footnotes and bibliographies, was beaten into us.
Right.
And then at Harvard, it wasn't beaten in, but it was still there. And there's certain ways when you write a paper or a thesis that you cite other people's work.
It's Ibid and Ibsen and all that other stuff at the bottom of the
page. All that stuff. Yeah. But there's a way to do it. It doesn't take away from your own creativity, your citing sources and all. And she didn't do it right. And the fact that they let her off the hook for this tells us a lot about their political leanings. So they are cutting her slack that they wouldn't cut someone else.
Now, here's the other issue, John. I know that many, quote, Ivy League professors, I know in particular for University of Texas, because I told my grandson, you don't want to go there. You were wearing a Let's Go Brandon cap last year. You would not be accepted. But basically, they have infiltrated across the nation, going to other schools that are not Ivy League, but, oh, we have an Ivy League professor leading this course and raising our esteem. In the last minute or so, how much rot of this type exists in college and universities, even outside the Ivy League circle?
It's everywhere, and I've come to learn it's now no longer just in colleges and universities. It's in high school now, yeah. Too. And high school teachers are also in unions that give them, in effect, lifetime tenure. So getting rid of them for this type of political bent is very hard to do. And no wonder so many parents take their kids out of these schools and either go to private or parochial schools or go homeschool, as they don't want this nonsense being shoved into little Johnny and Mary's heads from age 8 on, you know.
And they basically are going to follow the progressive, everything like we saw in COVID. If you don't have the shots, you don't have the mask, you're not going to be allowed in the school, just like they weren't allowing people to move around in New York City.
Well, that may be. In all fairness, to me, that wasn't political.
No, it's not political. Well, yeah, it was, but the bottom line is...
No, it was not started out as political.
Did not start that way. You're right.
No, they recommended it for the sake of everybody not to spread a disease that we were just learning about.
I agree with that. I didn't mean to go down that road because I don't allow you enough time. I'm sorry, but I really appreciate your insight into Harvard. We'll do it again.
Okay, man. Anytime.
Yeah, you saved me a lot of money. I can buy the drinks now. Thanks. Coming up, how about, speaking of drinks, how about just drinking water out of your toilet? They're going to do that in California. They say it'll be safe.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President, she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the California State Water Resources Board is considering regulations next week that would allow, in quotes, toilet to tap, in the quotes, reuse of water supplies, treating sewage water and sending it back into ordinary drinking water systems in selected communities. Now, a lot of dirty, nasty, polluted, chemical-filled water and so forth is based upon rivers, whatever water source you have, that has to be cleansed and meet certain standards before it's allowed to go through your tap. Otherwise, it's considered non-potable, basically non-drinkable. If you've ever played golf and you go into a restroom on a golf course, you will often find a sign that says water non-potable. They don't want you drinking water out of the faucet in the sink, and certainly not out of the toilet. But now this State Water Resources Control Board announcing regulations that would allow water systems to add wastewater that has been treated to levels meeting or exceeding all drinking water standards to their potable supplies. The process will be known as direct potable reuse, will enable systems to generate a climate-resilient water source, reducing the amount of wastewater released to rivers and ocean. Now, since you already know that your water has been treated, if you didn't know that, I mean, you maybe you're in for an awakening. It relies, the water from your tap relies on immediate multi-barrier treatment that recycles wastewater in this process to drinking water standards in a matter of hours, whereas normally it takes over a period of time, what they call indirect reuse, which improves treated wastewater over time through groundwater recharge or dilution with surface water. So all these regulations are up in the air in California. The city of L.A. launched pilot projects in recent years. Water agencies in Santa Clara and San Diego are pushing forward. And the San Francisco Chronicle reporting, the state, California State Water Resources Council is set to hear testimony on going forward with more activities next week. If approved, it would enable projects sometimes called and dubbed toilet to tap to move forward in numerous communities, including Santa Clara County, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Now, to be fair, several other countries have also experimented with this idea, specifically Israel. Researchers studying the potential for pharmaceutical byproducts to survive water treatment process and re-enter the public supply. So they have not gone full-blown into it. I'll give you one prediction. If you don't have stock in it, this might be a good time to do it, not only for stock on the market of a company that holds it, but to go get your own stock of bottled water. Now, in the beginning, when the word came out, somebody was going to start selling bottled water. I will remember the specific reaction of many. Are you kidding? You're going to charge for a bottle of water? Come on. Nobody's going to want to buy a bottle of water. Look at us now. And all kinds of water with different things added, things of that nature. And, of course, you didn't think you'd ever be charged for putting air in your tire either, did you? At some service stations, 25 cents for, never clear how many seconds, but it always will run out early unless you put four quarters in for a full dollar and it go a little bit longer. I mean, charging for air, that's right there. Now, I would not suggest carrying a bicycle pump around in your car, but many have these new devices they use, and apparently they're pretty effective. Google is looking at a new AI system, artificial intelligence. If there's anyone in this room other than Quentin, and he's well above me, so I can't include him, the only one in the room that has artificial intelligence would be me. I know artificial intelligence. I've made my whole living on artificial intelligence. Anyway, Google's latest AI system, dubbed Project Elman, is designed to deeply integrate with your personal data across various devices and apps. The Daily Mail reporting that Google's Project Elman represents a significant leap in AI technology. It aims to become your life story teller. I would say telling on you, not your teller, but telling on you. And they apparently going to do this by an array of personal data sites, search histories, Google Wallet purchases. Everything you do is going to be documented. We all know it probably is anyway, but it's going to be at one location. And they're hoping to use this new AI that they can definitely pull every bit of every research of any money you have or whatever you're doing at any particular point and put it in their hands. Now, what they do with it, that could become another issue. In Chicago, the city mayor continues to claim that we are a sanctuary city for illegals, but no mas. No mas. We don't anymore. So he and his lackeys in Chicago are moving forward to put several restrictions on bus companies. They came in November, and now they're looking at putting fines in lawsuits that those bus companies are being used to bring in illegals. They are now looking at 77 bus companies, most of which have taken contracts from Texas to transport illegals from border towns to Chicago or any points north. They say, we're only doing this for the safety of the migrants. BS, BS. They're doing it because their citizens are ticked off that these illegals are coming in. You're putting up a tent city for them in a neighborhood where we already have enough poor people in crisis, and they're going to suck up the resources, the school resources for our kids, medical resources, police sources, and you're going to just basically give the middle finger to the American citizens in Chicago. That's exactly what they've been doing. More and more surveys continue to make it clear that not only is Trump leading other Republicans, he is running away from the race when it comes down to a rematch between him and Joe Biden. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It is my honor to present to you the man in the arena. He is a man of significance. He is the leader, the fighter that our country needs. He has my full and complete endorsement for President of the United States of America. I will do everything I can to help him win and save this country.
Christy, I'm truly honored to receive your endorsement. Very much so. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's a great honor. I get endorsements, some good, some bad. I get endorsements, some don't mean anything. Hers means a lot.
Hers means a lot. Now, that was 3 months ago when Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, made it clear that she was going to be backing Donald Trump. And I told someone just the other day that when the other candidates were on the stage for their very first Republican primary debate, Trump had said, I wouldn't take a single one of them. Well, actually, Nikki Haley, he had taken as an ambassador for the U.S. to the U.N., and I think she did an admirable job. Vivek is a very smart young man, considered to be a little cocky by some. So is Trump to that extent. DeSantis, I thought, had a lot more ground under him, but the legs have gotten weary, not holding up at his end of the race in the primary. And he and DeSantis are on so certainly Trump, I should say, not necessarily DeSantis, but they're so ego-driven, I don't see them coming together, even for the better of the Republican Party. Chris Christie, leave him at the donut shop, he'll be just happy. So when Kristi Noem made that statement, I was telling folks that could be well Trump's VP pick. And if so, I think it's going to be very effective. Because if you're to believe where we are right now with the election still coming next year, and these polls, keep in mind, they only are a snapshot in time at the date they're taken. A lot can happen between now and next November. But if Biden were to stay at the top of the ticket, he's unlikely to jettison Kamala. She's not getting any good ratings either. There was a CNN survey that pointed out how Georgia and Michigan, swing states, were showing up in this latest survey. In Georgia, now Biden won both last time against Trump. But in Georgia currently, Trump, according to this latest survey, has 49% of the vote, Biden 48%. A lot closer than what they want it to be in that swing state. In Michigan, which was also won by Biden, Trump is showing 50% support, Biden 40%. 10% undecided. That absolutely amazes me that 10% of the populace can't decide between one or the other. Now, you may not like one or the other, but you can't make a decision on between those two if there's no one else in front of you. That's what I pointed out all along when we were going from Trump against Hillary. Whether or not you like the man, that he had the class that I want from my president, and that he wasn't a loose cannon sometimes, which he can be, I certainly did not want Hillary Benghazi Clinton, not only in the White House to be president, but to be capable of appointing federal judgeships and on the U.S. Supreme Court. You remember how Obama was pushing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Come on, Ruth, call it a day. Go home, stay home, we'll take everything. And she was defiant. I'm not leaving until I'm ready. In the back of her mind, she probably, like everyone, assumed Hillary was going to win, and Hillary could appoint her replacement. Didn't work out that way. And Donald Trump has ended up with three appointees to the federal Supreme Court, and they were all in court when the abortion Roe v. Wade came back up again. And they were deciding on constitutional issues, not political, not the most popular, but the Constitution says nothing about abortion. And you can't take some parts of the Constitution and make it say something it doesn't, which had been going on in this nation for the last 50 years, making abortion law of the land. If Hillary had been in position to appoint the Supreme Court, there are hundreds of thousands of babies that would not be existing right now. It is that simple. Hundreds of thousands of those also are women, baby women. They wouldn't have a chance either. So one of these, analyzing these CNN surveys, is Byron York, Washington Examiner.
If you look at the Wall Street Journal Trump-Biden poll, Trump has a huge lead on all of the issues like the economy and the border and foreign affairs, things like that. But the one issue where Biden has a really big lead is abortion, because of the continuing years-long fallout of the Dobbs decision. So is it possible that Hillary Clinton, who's long been associated with a cause like that, could actually help President Biden in some areas? It's possible. Certainly wouldn't hurt, because everything looks terrible for Joe Biden just at this moment. I think that the White House knows all of these things very, very well. So they think, what can President Biden do? And by the way, the poll also showed people deeply concerned about the president's mental capacities and his physical ability to carry out another term as president. So you put all that together, just terrible deficits for Biden on all sorts of issues, terrible deficits on the age, and you think, well, what does he have left? Well, he has the threat of MAGA, and I think that where we're going to see a lot in the campaign are threats that Donald Trump will essentially be the end of American democracy. And there's one polling result from 2022, the midterms, I think, that was really informative, which is in exit polls of people who said the economy was only okay. They didn't think things were going that well for them economically. They still voted for Biden. in part because they were made to fear that American democracy might end if Trump-affiliated candidates won the election.
So they still voted for Biden. Coming up, Vic Fraselli on his program today had an interview with one of the January 6th defendants from his jail cell. That's coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.